Fashion.
Turn to the left.
Fashion.
Turn to the right.
Fashion.
Fashion?
It's fashion with Penelope Noir.
Morena Penelope Noir.
Atamarie.
How are you?
I'm good. Sorry, it just always cracks me up.
I think it's the dancing that we do somehow. It's like a particular kind of chair dancing you do to this intro sting here. We are talking fashion, a very iconic bit of fashion today. Who are we speaking about this morning?
We're going to talk about Edie. And this one is close to Zoe's heart.
Yes, it is. I went through a big Edie Sedgwick phase when I was like 16. Read all these like Warhol 60s books and flounced around in a leopard coat, which to be honest, I still do. So I haven't changed that much.
Excellent.
But yeah, I was definitely obsessed with Edie Sedgwick for a bit.
What was it about her that kind of drew her to you?
I just thought she was cool. I liked the big earrings. I liked the idea that she, you know, was wearing these jazz tights and leotards when everyone was wearing like very proper dresses.
Yeah.
I just thought she was cool. And that like New York party lifestyle, like, as a kind of nerdy teenager, was like, oh,
feels
man.
Like the most glamorous like, thing. Yeah.
I want that. But it's also a very tragic story as well.
Yeah. So, Edie Sedgwick was, I didn't realise that, I knew she came from wealth, but I didn't realise how her family lineage went right back to arriving in the US and many of the men, of course, had prominent positions in power and things like that.
Right, okay.
She was the seventh of eight children, born in 1943, 20th of April. And while they had wealth, the whole family were actually, they lived out of the city, and they were very secluded from other people. Like, their parents didn't want them to actually like mix with other people because other people weren't worthy of mixing with the family.
Well, they were proper poshos. Ooh, right.
Yeah. And with that came some additional kind of stress and, I guess, you know, problems, which I'm not going to go into because let's talk about the fashion. It's like more exciting.
But you can go have, I'm sure there's so many biographies of her and like movies and stuff. You can go and read all about it. Watch it all on the internet if you want to.
And it's it's a tragic story. But let's talk about the fashion.
Turn to the left.
I guess what she's known for is, you know, she kind of had a twiggy kind of frame, cropped hair, dark eyebrows, heavy eyeliner, false eyelashes. And she always had a statement accessory, which I like to call an item of flair.
Item of flair.
Item of flair.
Penelope Noir's items of flair.
And her item of flair, I guess, that she's most well known for is her chandelier earrings. And they're ginormous.
They are so big. I mean, I'm looking at photos right now, and they're in every single photo. They look so heavy.
Yeah,
and she's tiny.
She is so small. She's like a little bird, and her earrings are literally chandeliers. They're so chunky. There's so much going on there.
Yeah, and what's quite cool is that she actually had dark brown hair, and it was a bit longer, and then she met Andy Warhol in 1965 when she came to New York after inheriting money from her grandma. And as soon as they met, it was kind of like love at first sight. She cut her hair off and dyed it blonde and became kind of almost like the female Andy Warhol.
Wild.
Hence why he kind of fell in love with her, although he was, I guess, his predilection was being gay, you know, so but he totally fell in love with her, and they were kind of quite obsessed with each other. And she ended up, I think she was in 11 of his films, starred in 11
wow.
of his films, but was actually in more of his films. And the reason that she kind of became quite a fashion icon is, like Zoe said, she wore tights and leotards pretty much all the time, and it was because she did jazz ballet twice a day. So she just couldn't be bothered to get changed. So she just put a big coat on.
She's the original activewear girl.
Yeah.
She's like literally Lululemon from 1965.
Oh, no.
Yeah. And after she met Warhol at this party, which was for Tennessee Williams.
Whoa.
Casually.
I think it was like a couple of days later or a week later, they went to France to see one of his collections or one of his shows. And she went in her leotards and a mink coat, and she took a suitcase with her, which contained another mink coat.
That I just need to travel light, you know, just my two mink coats and my one outfit. That's all I need.
Yeah, and she so her other items of flair that she wore were satin evening gloves, like up to the elbow, and pearls.
I can just imagine. I'm looking at Zoe and I'm thinking, I could see you as a 16-year-old in your satin evening gloves.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't have any gloves, but I did buy a leotard, and I just, like, I wasn't confident enough to wear it out, but I did, like, flounce around the house, just like, I'm so edgy.
That's so cool.
I'm so fashionable. No one understands.
singing Velvet Underground songs to yourself.
God. Yeah. Did you, such a cliche.
Did you do heavy eyeliner and things like that?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I pretty much still do eyeliner every day, save today. I've done it every day since I was 14.
Did you bleach your hair at all?
No, I'm not that brave.
No.
Nah.
She does have those big, amazing, like, full black lid eyes, you know, like, completely painted almost right up to the eyebrow with a huge wing on it. Such an iconic look.
Yeah, it's really cool. And what I didn't realise is that she had a beauty spot that she drew on, and that she was very... she was always compared to Marilyn Monroe. She was considered, like, in 1965, she was the it girl.
Yeah.
I think she was named Girl of the Year, but I guess it's like our equivalent of an it girl. And she was considered to be the 60s version of Marilyn Monroe in the 50s.
Right.
And apparently even her mannerisms. And she had the same thing where she would, you know, Marilyn Monroe was really intelligent, but she acted dumb.
Yeah.
And apparently Edie was quite similar. Mm. Like, she just used to do that to kind of, I don't know.
Part of her character.
Just part of her character, yeah.
Because I think that's the other thing. When you see someone like Edie Sedgwick, so much of what she's doing is performance, you know? Like, she's wearing these clothes. She's got these, like, I just need my two mink coats. You know, it's all kind of part of a persona she's constructed a little bit.
She seems like a very fragile person.
Mm. Yeah, and I think she was. I mean, I think her family history kind of didn't help with that, you know? And tragically, she passed away when she was 27.
Yeah,
and
so
she'd only just got married.
Far out.
Yeah, but she had a falling out with Andy Warhol because she, I don't know whether they definitely hooked up, but they were kind of hanging out a lot because she moved into the Chelsea Hotel after kind of like hanging out at the factory all the time. And she fell out with Andy and met Bob Dylan, and apparently three of his songs,
wow,
like A Rolling Stone, Leopard Skin, Pillbox Hat, and Just Like a Woman are all said to be...
about Edie.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
She's had so many songs written about her, and...
Who else has written songs about her?
Primal Scream, Velocity Girl.
Classic.
Dream Academy, Girl in a Million, for Edie Sedgwick, and The Cult, Edie, Chow Baby, the ones I know, but people might know other ones as well.
Mm. I mean, well, of course, The Velvet Underground did many songs. We're going to listen to Femme Fatale shortly, which is all about her as well. She's like an icon. I mean, I just found this one photo of her wearing... like shiny silver disco pants basically and this tiny shiny silver like bralette pretty much at what looks like some very posh gallery opening, and everyone else is dressed so formally and she just looks incredible. So
and she also wore the kind of Mary Prankster's stripy top, you know, which is you know, attributed to Jack Kerouac and Allen Ginsberg and stuff like that, and Andy Warhol wore that as well. So, and when you look at, I guess when you look at the two of them side by side, when they dress similar, it's quite interesting how they do kind of reflect each other.
They do, totally. Yeah. What, tragic. Tragic, but gorgeous and incredibly iconic person.
Yeah, I think it's like such a cool fashion icon for a 16 or 14-year-old.
She's still, you know, she's still a fashion icon today. You can still see echoes of, like, her look pop up every now and then on a catwalk or in, you know, even high street fashion as well. So thank you for bringing us Edie Sedgwick this morning.
Thanks, Zoe.
Oh, you're welcome.
Cause everybody knows
they do.
the things she does to please. She's just a little tease. See the way she walks. Hear the way she talks. You're written in her book. You're number 37. Have a look. She's gone too smart to make you frown. What a clown. Everybody knows the things she does to please. She's just a little tease. See the way she walks. Hear the way she talks. 'Cause everybody knows the things she does to please.
Femme Fatale by The Velvet Underground for Edie Sedgwick.
That was Fashion with Penelope Noir.
We are the Goon Squad and we're coming to town. Beep, beep.